On this last Sunday, before the new year, if the Lord tarries, it's good to have you worshiping together with us. You know, our youth are away on a retreat. Keep them in prayer. They're not far away, but they are away. And pray that God would do some awesome things in their lives. Before we start, I want to ask you as the congregation to join me in prayer. We want to lift up, some of you know, one of our staff member and also a longtime member of our church, Barbara Lou Fontenot, Gawain's wife, is in the hospital. She's been battling cancer for a while. It's not a secret. Many of you have seen her. I just want to ask you to join me in prayer as we lift her up today. Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to come before you today. And Father, we know that you are the Creator God. You can do any and everything. And Father, you care so much about us, each one of us. You love us dearly. We want to come before you today. We want to lift up Barbara to you. Lord God, you know everything about it. But we want to pray and ask that, Lord God, you will be with her today. Lord, that your hand of healing will be upon her. We know that you can. We know that you also have a great care for her. And the life that she has lived and what she means to us. Father, we want to lift her up to you right now and ask that your presence would be with her. We ask that you grant her healing, even things that doctors cannot do in MD Anderson, but we know you can do. So we want to lift her up to you. We want to lift up her and Gawain and the family together and ask that your power and your mercy and your grace and your presence will be with them. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you've been following with me, I hope you have been, the book of Hebrews, we're in chapter 2. And as you study it, one thing, if nothing else, you want to know Hebrews is all about Jesus. In fact, you can title it, The Letter to the Hebrews, and on the bottom you can write, it's all about Jesus. That's what it's about. If you want to know something about Jesus, if you want to know everything about the Lord that we can know from the Almighty God, you want to study the four Gospels, of course, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and John, and then you will want to study Hebrews. It is all about Jesus. And everything about life is about Jesus. That's why it's such an important passage that you and I can study this letter. Today, we are going to talk about something that is triggered by Jesus. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But it's something that perhaps you guys haven't thought about before. I think there's so much in Hebrews that's going to be like that. Things are going to come up, and we're going to learn about things. And if you want to study deep things, not just the milk of the Word of God, but you want to get into the meat, Hebrews is that book for you. And hopefully, as we go through it, you will learn a lot. I don't know if you ever thought about man's destiny. You know, if God created us, and he did, is this what he created? Is what we've seen what life is all about? This passage here, as we look in it, talks about something that's really interesting. It talks about the plans of God before and in the future. And it begins, let me just read briefly in verse 5 again, if you have the sheet with you or if you have your Bible. It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come. Interesting, about which we are speaking. What is it that God created? You go back to Genesis, right? And you find that God created. All right, we know he created angels, but he created the world, everything in, all the creatures, all the stars, everything. And then he created that which we believe, and from the Word of God, it's very clear, his best and most important creation of all. He created man and woman. He created Adam and Eve. It was his pinnacle of creation. It was. It is. It had to be. Because, first of all, we are told that he created men and women in his image. He didn't create anything else in the image of God. The imago Dei, right, that is said. The image of God he created. So there's nothing else created. Even angelic beings were not created in his image. And not only that, we find in Genesis as well that what did he give to man? He gave to man the dominion of creation. He was going to dominate. He was going to rule creation. Now, before sin came, and we'll talk about that in a little bit later, but he was to rule. And so here in verse 5, it talks about this again. And now the writer is talking about not the past now, but the future. It says, it is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come. Here is interesting here. The words there in the Greek, the word subjected in the Greek, is basically a political, militaristic, a control, kind of authority thing. Whoever's in control, someone that's subjected to someone else is under their control. So it is not to angels that it was this world was to be subjected, the world to come. It is to man. And so it goes back to the original plan. So that's why I entitled the message, Reclaiming Man's Destiny. Man's destiny from the beginning was to rule under the Almighty God. Everything. Everything was to be ruled. But when you look at what's happening to man today, really seriously, look out in the world, just read the history, anything else, you know, read the news, and you find that man is not ruling anything whatsoever. We're barely ruling ourselves. We're not ruling things, we're just surviving. Of course, we have the sicknesses of life, death, that just kind of ruins everything there, right? But not only that, when you look out there, well, what exactly is man ruling? We're not ruling this world. Things happen, there'll be hurricanes and floods, and there's nothing we can do about it. You can barely forecast it. There'll be tsunamis, we've seen it before. I think it was, there's an anniversary tsunami just a couple of days ago, of what happened to Japan, and the things that happened in Indonesia. And there's earthquakes, and there's, you know, volcanoes and wars and all. What are we ruling, really? We're not ruling a thing. But that was not the plan of God. God's plan of God, the plan of God for man was very much that he will rule. In other words, we here are the highest of creation. It is said that the brain, man's brain, is really just hardly used at all. There's only 10% of it that we're using. 90% we're not. What does that mean, 90% we're not? What is it that Adam could have done that we can't do? Remember, he was so smart that he named every creature that God created. That's a massive amount of intelligence. He did that according to what they were. He could do all kinds of stuff that we cannot. God had designed a plan for man to rule. But because of sin, and we'll talk about that in a moment, we don't rule anything anymore. First of all, they were thrown out of the Garden of Eden where they were to rule from. Then not only that, there was death that came upon them so that we die. Never experienced it before. The angels don't die, but we die. Not only that, we are weak. We're limited in the amount of years that we have. Not only that, you just go on and on and on. There's so many things that suddenly, because of sin, we're taken out of. And not only that, we fail and we cease to rule this world. Now, if we don't rule this world, who does then? The Almighty God rules the universe. He's the sovereign God. But if we don't rule and we are not dominion to this universe and this world, who does? Now, we look in the Bible, we find there are rulers of this world. They just happen not to be men and women. They're the angelic beings, they're the demonic presence, and so forth. They have come and they have taken over this world. We are told that Satan is the prince of this world. He rules this world. So wait a minute, God is ruler. Yes, God is ruler. He's ultimately the sovereign ruler. But right now, temporarily, not permanently, but temporarily, he rules this world, Satan does. And not only that, his minions, and I'll tell you why. I'll give you some passages, I'm going to read it from you because I want you to see that it is from the Word of God. There are places in the Bible that God opens up a little portal for us to see what's happening here. And if we understand it a little bit, we can be more of a prayer person, first of all, that we need to trust in the Almighty God and to know that there are battles in this world that are caused because we don't rule the world, because there are other beings that are. Now, in Ephesians 6, you guys know this already, right? And we worked through that before. And let me read a few. If you have your Bible, you can turn to it with me. In Ephesians 6, in chapter verse 12, it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood." That's the Apostle Paul writing. but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. See that? So our world is ruled by demonic powers, but they're not the only ones ruling it. There are angelic powers as well. Now, I bring this up because in Hebrews chapter 1, we talked all about Jesus and how he's superior and supreme over angelic beings. And this is important for the Jewish people to understand that the angels are not the rulers alone in this world. There are someone else. There is someone else, and that's the Almighty God. Now, going back to Daniel, a book that maybe you've studied, maybe you don't know much about. Daniel, you know who he is, my namesake, I guess. He was the prophet, a great prophet. If you want to find out things about eschatology, things in the end times, and the spiritual thing, you want to read the book of Daniel, the book of Ezekiel, Isaiah, the book of Revelation, so forth. You want to know those things. But in Daniel, there was a portion that's really kind of interesting. If you study it, you say, wait, what's going on here? Daniel prayed, wanted to know something from the Almighty God, requested from God, and God sent the response back to him. But in his sending of the response, he used an angel. A mighty angel was sent to give the response to Daniel. But he was delayed, and Daniel didn't get an answer for a long, long time. And finally, the angel got to Daniel, and Daniel sees him. And he says, I'm an angel. I'm sent from the Almighty God. I was sent earlier, but I was waylaid on the way. I was ambushed in my process to you, from the throne of God to you, Daniel, where you are. There was a great and mighty demon, and whatever powers he might have with him, the name of that demon was the Prince of Persia. Obviously, with the name of Prince of Persia, you get this idea that he was ruling that area. And Persia, oh, those places, very demonic places where they wage wars and people are killed all the time and terrible things happen. So this demonic power is there, waylaid this demon, this angel. And so as a result, he could not get away until a greater angel, the angel Michael, and we'll talk about him in a second later about what he does. Michael came and rescued this angel. So freed him, and Michael is fighting the prince of Persia, and this angel goes and talks for Daniel and gives to Daniel the answer that the Almighty God had given to him. He said, what does that have to do with the important things that we're talking about? Well, just want to let you know that there are territories in which obviously, because men no longer dominate the world, because men do not rule the world temporarily at this point, angels do, demonic powers do. Say, wait a minute, every single place in this world, the whole globe, there are demonic powers rule? Yes, there are. But there are places too as well. It seems that angelic beings, those who are holy, those who follow after God, are ruling as well. I'll give you an example. Going on to the end of chapter 10, and this is what the angel said to Daniel. So he said, do you know why I have come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. In other words, he's going to go back and he's going to join and engage the prince of Persia again with Michael. But he said this, and he goes on. An interesting verse, if you never saw it before. And when I go, he says, the prince, this is chapter 10 of Daniel, verse 20. The prince of Greece will come. Okay, what exactly was that? Obviously, the Prince of Greece is not a man. Obviously, the Prince of Greece seems like it's a good angel. It's an angelic being that's ruling the area of Greece, and he's going to come. Why is he coming? He's coming to do a minister to Daniel. So what does that lead us to see? Now, there's a lot of theologians that talk about these things. I think sometimes we get a little bit too crazy about it. We map out the whole world, and we say, this demon controls this, this demon, this angel. But I want to tell you something. If you look at certain places, if you ever visited certain places, you will get a sense that, man, something's up here. When you think about, say, for instance, in the Western Caribbean, in the Caribbean, there's one country there that's full of voodoo, witchcraft, and all that. Poor as can be. You know the country. The name is Haiti. All kinds of terrible things happen to the place. Right next to it on the same island is the Dominican. Now, it's still a poor country, but it's nothing like Haiti. Haiti is so horrible. See, what is going on there? It's almost like this demonic powers is purposely destroying that country, destroying people. We have some very good friends who actually were encouraging us to join them in mission trip to Haiti. They're Haitians we knew from New York. They're doing great ministries there. Good people. But you wonder why people suffer so much in a place like that. And you remember the earthquake that happened there. You know, hurricanes that come. It's unbelievable what happens there. You go on to other countries and you will find similar things. I remember traveling a long time ago, about 25 years ago. I was traveling on a train throughout the Soviet Union and different places I stayed at. Got off, got into Latvia, got into Ukraine, got into St. Petersburg, different cities, you know, in the former Soviet Union. And they were good. I remember, though, when we went into Moscow, many missionaries and many people have talked about that. I remember getting into the train center, the station in Moscow, and coming out, and there was such a sense of oppression that came upon me. It came upon all of us, actually, the different pastors that came. We just said, man, this is a dark place. And we know nothing about it. It's the first time I've been to Moscow. I had no idea what kind of oppressiveness that was there. As if there was something terribly demonic about it. And I remember ministering there and just all kinds of situations happened. And we're like, God, we're so great. We're so thankful that we worship you. We follow you. We have your protection. Because otherwise, I was in a taxi cab. And it was the scariest thing. And we got into a taxi cab going to a church where I was to preach. And next thing you know, I'm smelling gasoline. And then I found out later that the tank was leaking the whole time we were there. I mean, one tiny little backfire, and that was it. Dos vidania, Chinese food for somebody. It's like that. I have friends, I've never been there, but I have friends that have gone to Thailand, to Bangkok, where they landed. And I have some good friends and former staff that worked in Thailand. They landed and got off the airplane in the Bangkok airport. And you sense it right there, the oppressiveness that is there. They feel the same thing, too, in some places in India. Our friends have served in Chandigarh in India. And you can just feel the oppressiveness. See, there are rulers of these places. The demonic, many of them. Now, there are others, too. I believe the United States for a long, long time. I think angelic beings ruled this place and managed this place. The blessings of the Almighty God was here. The hand of God was upon this country for over 200 years. The many things that this nation has done for this world, rescued Europe twice, on and on. You know why? Because there are demonic powers that rule this world. And they're angelic beings that are here as well. They're always fighting. They're fighting on behalf of God Almighty. You know, the demons can't win. They know they can't win, but they can do all kinds of terrible things. Oh, this is some of the stuff that we are reading about. But in this verse here, it says, it is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come. In other words, the world to come, what is that? The word here, the Greek word, if you look at the phrase of it, it is a world to come, a world that will be inhabited by the Almighty God's people. There will be a place. We believe it is during the millennium, a thousand-year rule of Jesus Christ, where the world will come. And there, the angelic beings are not going to be ruling as they are now. But men and women will be. Why? Because God's people, redeemed people, will be rulers in the future, going back to where God had planned for them originally. And then it goes on, verse 6, it says, but there is a place where someone has testified. This is the Old Testament, Psalm. This is talking about David writing, what is mankind that you're mindful of them? A son of man that you care for him. You made him a little lower than the angel. Verse 7, you crowned them with glory and honor. This is about you and me. If you know Jesus Christ, if you have been born again and you're redeemed, that one day that's what you are. You and I will be crowned with glory and honor. We are a little lower than angel now. We do not rule this world. We just live in it. We survive in it. We serve the Lord in it. We minister in it. But we do not rule it. But one day we will. The new earth. During the millennial time. Under the real ruler, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is what it's about. The plan of God for men has always been that we will rule with him. The Almighty God, Son of the living God, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and the rest of us, we are rulers. The angelic beings, as powerful as they may be, Michael himself, Gabriel too, they don't rule in the future. They serve. They serve the Almighty God, but they serve us. Because that's how God has designed it. That's what God had planned long time ago. That's the plan of God in the Garden of Eden. When God created men and women, that's the plan of God. It is not so that we would just suffer and suffer and suffer and survive. Now, but that plan was obviously messed up, right? So the present damage because of sin. I've been, I love history, so I read history. I love to read the history of missionaries, just very enjoyable for me. But recently, I just got into it a little bit. There's a series that you can find on Netflix and different places like that. It's called World War II in Color, right? They got all these old pictures of World War II. Some of you were in it. Some of your grandparents are in World War II. And they begin to describe the different sphere, different major categories, you know, from the invasion of Poland all the way to the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. But what I found as I'm watching these footage and the commentators is how terrible people are. I mean, the heinous crimes against humanity. When you talk about graves that are dug and people are just, they have pictures of it, massacre, just thrown into mass graves, innocent people. The only problem they had was that they were Jewish. You know, six camps in Poland and many in Germany. Not only that, what the Japanese did to the Chinese in Nanking. What the Japanese did to the people in Manila, Philippines. Over 100,000 civilians were massacred as the Japanese were defeated there. Just because they can. It's not only Japanese or the Germans. Even the French, the British, the mass bombing that I mean, these are things that historians, you know, you watch it, and I'm watching this, I'm like, how could they do things like this? How can people do things like this to people? Indiscriminate bombing and all kinds of executions. Why? Because of sin. That's what sin does. Instead of making us, allowing us to rule this universe, this world, as God intended, we are despicable human beings. He said, well, not us, just them. It's always just the Germans. It's always just the Japanese. It's always just the Italians. You know, it's always all these bad people. No. These were people that went to church. These were people that would be your neighbors. These were people that they just did all these terrible things. Because sin damages who we are. God made us to be people made in his image, to exemplify who God is. And sin has destroyed it. Twist everything. And so it isn't just warfare. Think about the things that we do today in politics. The crimes that on the news is talking about, MS-13. Now, my son lives in Long Island, and one of the headquarters is MS-13. And for a little while, actually, the MS-13 actually had an open, I don't know what they call it. Well, they told him that, please go and kill cops. And my son, who is all cop, he was flying a United States flag, the blue ones, you know, that tells them that they're cops, supportive of cops. I said, son, don't you really want to put that away? You do live in Long Island. You know MS-13 guys about half an hour from you, the center. And of course, being all cop, he says, I'm not afraid of them, Dad. I said, they have guns. He said, I have bigger guns. That wasn't very comforting for me, okay? My three grandchildren there, you know? But that's him, okay? I'm just telling you, why would people do things like that? With machetes chopping people up. Horrible things, right? And now, you say, wow, that's so scary sounding. But there's other kinds of sins too, you know? The hate and the grudges and the angers and all kinds of stuff that we do to each other and we do to ourselves. Because of sin, we have been damaged. And because of sin, we're not those people or beings that are going to rule anything. Okay? Sin did that. But it's temporary. It is not permanent. The angelic beings, the demonic presence, they will not rule forever. It's temporal. Sin is temporal. They will come to an end. because there is a time stamped on this. I tell you what, God still wants to bring us to the place where he has set up originally. So there's a path established by Christ. It's interesting here, this passage. It says, but we do see Jesus. This is important. Remember, Hebrews is all about Jesus. Right? Even though we're talking about the plans of God for man, even though we're talking about demonic and angelic powers in this world, we are still talking about Jesus because Hebrews is about Jesus. It says, but we do see Jesus, who is made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Now, what does that mean? You see, sin, there is a consequence of sin. It has to happen every single time. When someone sins, you must pay. That person must pay with death. There's no other way. You can't buy your way out of sin. I know, you know, nowadays in the court of law, sometimes you say you got a good lawyer, you can get out of anything. Probably true. That's in man's court, not in God's court. When you sin, you must pay with death. And that's why the Old Testament talks about all the sacrifices, the lamb, all that. That's just a symbolic gesture. It is what we call a type of what is to be. It is just necessary. If you sin, you die. You must die. And so you and I, we have all been sinners. We are sinners. We have all sinned. And so the only way for us to solve our sin problem is to pay for it with death, that we have to die. But unfortunately, we can't die. He said, let me just die, and then I'll go to heaven. No, we die, we go to hell. Because we can't rescue ourselves just simply dying that way. We need to die not only with physical death, we also die in eternal death. But there's one person that can change that. His name's Jesus, right? It's all about Jesus. And he was made a little lower than, can you imagine that? He created the angels. He made the angels. And he was made a little lower. What humility. We can talk about that later, you know. Other passages, how he was so humble that the living God, the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ our Lord, he became lower than what? Than the angels. He made the angels, but he became lower than them. He became a man. That's the whole Christmas story. He was incarnate. He became a man. He became a little baby. He became a lamb. And we, on Christmas Eve services, we talked about that. And last Sunday, we talked about why he was born in a stable, because he was a lamb, sacrificial lamb. And he became a man so that he can suffer death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. See, Jesus had to die for us if we are going to be saved, if we are going to be rescued, because there is no other answer to sin but death. And so when you go and sin, and you're sinning, you got to understand what that sin is requiring. That sin is requiring death. You say, well, I know Jesus. Praise God you do. But you know what? We don't want to keep doing that. No, we're not going to suffer eternal death because we're sinning. But you know what? You know what caused the death of Christ. You don't want to keep doing that. That's what it takes. And so he died on the cross of Calvary for us. And that's the reason why someday in the future, it says right here, this world, this new world, a world that's not existed right now, the new world is going to be dominated and ruled by us because Jesus made it possible. He reclaimed our destiny. He brought us back. He's going to bring us back to what he intended us to be, the Almighty God, when he created us. And the angels, they're going to be serving us. Michael, he's going to be serving us. Gabriel, he'll be serving us. And they'll love it because that's what they're designed to do. And by the way, in case you want to know anything more about Michael, in chapter 12, Daniel, Michael is the defender of those who belong to God. Michael is watching us. The Almighty God has assigned him as that. He is to watch God's people. However he does it, whatever army he uses to watch us, we're being watched by the Almighty God through his angels. And that's the path established by Christ. So I want to tell you, people, they want to just throw off, you know, the supremacy and the greatness of the Almighty God. Just know that Jesus Christ, not only did he create us, not only did he plan a great destiny for us, He also made it possible because he paid the price for our sin on the death that he paid on the cross of Calvary. Praise God for that. You know, I'm excited about the future. I know that life here is, you know, busy and you do all kinds of stuff. And sometimes we think we never die, but we will. If the Lord tarries, every one of us will die eventually. But that's okay, because there's a great future ahead. God promised it. A future in which, because we know Jesus Christ, we will rule with him. And what a good situation to be in then. Would you join me in prayer and praise the Lord? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for the plans that you have for us, Lord. It is a great plan. Lord, I know that sometimes all we do here is, sometimes it seems like we're just surviving. Life can be tough. But God, we thank you for all that you have in mind, how you created us and you loved us. And Lord Jesus, I want to thank you so much that you made it possible that though we were sinners, because of your act on the cross of Calvary, Lord, you have reclaimed that plan for us. Father, I want to thank you for that. I pray that you will help us to understand what a phenomenal gift that you have given to us. And for those that do not know you, Lord, at this time, I pray that they will come before you and surrender their lives to you, so that they too can experience this great, great salvation that we'll offer to them, a phenomenal future forever. I thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.